Hello and welcome to Detail Drummer. My name is João Vaz and today I'm going to be talking with Anoop Sastry.
So I wanted you to explain us your career and the way you started to do YouTube, all those things that you do now, so people get to know you a little bit better.
Sure, yeah. So I went to school first for music theory, just like mm-hmm. a community college, just for 2 years, and then was also going to night school at a trade school for audio engineering. Right. And pretty much knew that's what I wanted to do. But at the time, I was 18 years old, I just left high school. So everything, the whole music world was a little bit just unknown, you know, especially mm-hmm. back yeah. then, because social media wasn't this big animal that it is today, right? So there was a lot of unknowns and just, you know, that was kind of exciting. And luckily I had the parental support and infrastructure to be able to just kind of do a head dive into music. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things I tried to focus on was surrounding myself with music, whatever it took, whether it was school, if it was a band I was in, or if it was trying to work on writing a song, whatever it could be, right? And then that's when YouTube came along. One of my best friends, Alex Rudinger, he was already doing YouTube content. So it was pretty, you know, known at the time that that was giving him some success with getting connected with other artists that weren't where we are, but, you know, on an international basis, right? Mm-hmm. So I just decided to take that route and kind of see what happened. And the first two groups were a band called Intervals and a band called Sky Harbor. So played a whole bunch of, you know, stuff with both of those bands, and we all met online, which was pretty crazy to think about.
Like all rehearsals and everything was online.
Well, I mean, everything was in person for right. as far as rehearsing and everything goes, but like,
oh, you guys just met online. Okay.
Yeah. Like I found them on forums and, like, you know, I was just like, hey, can I make a video of like your songs? And, you know, we all kind of trusted each other to like get into a room together and kind of just all be on it. Cause, you know, anyone can kind of, I guess, edit a whole bunch of stuff and make something super doctored and whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a little bit scary to just, you know, go to Toronto or fly to India and just like do these things. But it was cool because all the, you know, musicians we played with, everyone had rehearsed and we were trying to actually do stuff. And so, yeah, that's pretty much how it started. And then from that, I was contacted by a label person for Jeff Loomis mm-hmm. and started touring for his solo material. So I did 4 tours with him, and then things just, you know, started picking up here and there, and other opportunities came about, and I was still doing the YouTube thing in the background, so that was really helpful. So
like, to a certain point, YouTube was more like your second, let's say you're focused more on those freelancer gigs than on the YouTube. Was like a side project?
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting because YouTube was actually like the main thing the entire time. Because how I kind of viewed it was like, okay, if someone is contacting me and we're going to go play a bunch of music live or something like that, I use that as an opportunity as being like, well, I have to learn, I don't know, 10, 15 songs for this thing, right? That's all potential for YouTube videos, right?
Right.
So it was kind of like, for me, I saw it as like an opportunity for, you know, doing 2 different things.
Yeah, you're mixing like promotion to the things you're playing with that thing of getting recognized for playing drums as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
And YouTube is also, you know, a great platform for musicians, well, social media really in general now. But back then it felt like YouTube was like a resume for me, not just for drumming, but like also for engineering and recording.
And do you do more work in drumming or it's like you split yourself in all the areas, or you focus more on drumming and the other ones you kind of, it's a bonus, let's say.
Yeah, well, now it's become a little bit more like, so majority of my work in 2020 was all session work. Right. So luckily, you know, I just had a lot of work with people contacting me and saying they needed drums for a song, and I have the gear and the time and the resources to be able to do that. So
that because you can do the full package in it. Like you can play it, record it, mix it, master it, and send it. So it's complete.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, like the mixing work, I don't get as much of, but I still, that's another thing that I do. Right now it's kind of weird because drums have kind of taken, I don't want to call it necessarily like a backseat because I'm still a drummer. Like I'm actively trying to do things as a drummer, but
yeah.
I guess I'm not, I don't know how to phrase it, but I guess I'm not so worried about like promoting that anymore as like right. the forefront, you know?
It's just like, I wanted to ask you as well, because I've seen some of your videos on YouTube and like you play with such power and like energy, but at the same time, like it kind of feels effortless, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's powerful, but not forced, you know, it doesn't look like you're trying to smash the drums. It feels like the drums respond to your movement loud. You know what I mean?
Well, it's thank
like,
you.
it's like, for me, it's the best thing you can have as a drummer, especially when I'm seeing a drummer like that live and playing yeah. like art stuff as you play. Everything is neat and everything. It's like I can understand every note you play, you know? So
well, I appreciate that, yeah.
That's amazing. And I just wanted to ask you, like, do you have any like preparation or do you have something in your mind when you play to be with the right posture or to don't like not do too much effort when you play with your technique? Cause you move a lot, but you don't move a lot. If that makes sense. Like you do loads of things, but your body doesn't move. It's just like, you know, technique. Right. Do you have like any advices for that? Or
I don't know. I mean, like I'm like a bigger guy, you know, and like I've always, just been a heavier guy, you know, especially after like getting into working out and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I've just been a bigger dude. So I feel like hitting something hard, it comes just a little bit more naturally maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, I'm using pretty big sticks, you know?
Yeah. True. I noticed that.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, and early on, this is insane. I can't even believe I did this for years, but I used to use marching sticks, and just not only marching sticks, but I used to use Vic Firth Magnums, which are like,
oh,
yeah. super heavy on kick.
Massive.
Yeah. And which, you know, looking back on it, that was like, I didn't need to do that. That was just totally unnecessary.
But you did it for a reason or just because?
It just felt like that size of a stick just matched my playing style and, you know, how right. I want to hit a drum, just very heavy and just with a lot of force. And I can't believe I played with those for as long as I did. But another thing that I got from it was a lot of dexterity, mm-hmm. you know, like with playing with such bigger sticks, and it's almost like having weights in your hands. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that helped out a lot. And I don't know. I've just always like, when it comes to heavier music, I've just always like, even with the local bands back in the day, like I would always just hit super hard. It's just something I enjoyed doing.
That makes sense. Like it's just like you dropped a little bit on your sticks, but they're still pretty big.
Yes.
So it's like you reduce the size, but not that much. It's yeah. to a point yeah. that now it's comfortable and doesn't hurt. Do you ever had like any problems like pains or, you know, like from, because I had for a while since I started to play, I guess, like when you don't do it or when you don't think of it as professional, kind of, I think you just go and play for the fun, you know what I mean? So you don't warm up, or I started gigs without warming up and you just like go for it and do all the gig, and then you don't do any work to try or some like workout, or you know, sometimes you are without studying for a week and then you just go for the drums and just try to do all the licks, you know, and
yeah.
that can with time can hurt your body. Do you ever experience that, or are you always cool with it?
No, I've always luckily been good with it. Any injuries I've sustained over the years have been from external sources and not drumming, luckily.
Right.
Obviously I've over practiced. I think every musician is over practiced and you get a little sore, right? But there hasn't been any like long-term, knock on wood, injuries that have, you know, just stuck around because of my technique or because of something I'm doing on the kit. I also, you know, when I started touring a bunch too, and even now I take warming up. I've always taken warming up like so seriously. I will be that obnoxious person on tour where I'll find like a quiet place in between the vans outside.
Let's go to the corner.
Yeah. Even if it's 100 degrees out, I'll be out there with practice pads, just doing my endurance runs and being like, okay, let me just, you know, get things going before I get up on a stage and try and execute it on a kit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm the same way here as well. You know, just out of my home studio, just always warming up first. So.
Yeah. That's a good advice. I would advise everyone to warm up.
Yes, for sure.
Also, I wanted to ask you, because you have loads of different, not streams, but I would say like you're in different platforms. Let's say you're on YouTube, you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you have your website as well, which people can like get to book lessons with you and also like get you to do session work for them. And two questions. First is, how important you think now is for a freelancer to have different like ways to make money, different ways of income, and also like how do you think that can help your career to grow to the next level? Because of course, like obviously, if I get to know you on Instagram, then I'm gonna check your YouTube, then I'm gonna check your website, then I know that you do that and you do that. So because you have loads of things out there, it's easy to find you.
And sure.
How important that is that for now? Like, because of course you have loads of work on internet for new drummers. I mean, like, you know, for people that are starting now. And
sure. Yeah. I think it's super important. I think between all the platforms, there's this kind of weird, like spider web you can create, your own spider web where you can just kind of, you know, connect a whole bunch of them in different ways. And I think it's good to recognize that and also recognize that social media is obviously a great tool.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that I can say about all of that though is definitely don't, you know, beat yourself up about like content creation and just like, you know, why is this post doing so much better than something I'm doing? Or like, why is it that when I post something, people aren't contacting me for my whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like social media is just this huge, the internet is just this big thing now, right? So it's very tough to wear a bunch of hats. Sure. And it's very difficult for us to, you know, become like marketing experts on top of already trying to get better at our instruments, right?
True.
So as long as like, you know, there's this healthy balance with it, you know, understanding that these are tools and that you can connect all of them, but not reading too much into it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think as well that these things take time. So like, it's like, I don't know, you go to a new company, let's say you work in an office or something, you get there, you're going to start like maybe serving coffees and stuff like that. After like a year, maybe you get the position. Then after that, you get to be supervisor. Then, you know, and I think this is the same. You get the brand and you get your brand out there. And unless like something, or you're really lucky, or you did something that it's like out of, you know, this world, people will not notice you straight away. So, you know, I think it's part of the creation, the people that create stuff to like take it easy and just wait. Sometimes it's just wait, you know, because it's there, it's on internet, it's still there. Even today I was watching videos of you for the first time from 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, you did it 6 years ago and still people watching it. So sometimes it just takes time. Yeah.
Yeah, I know for sure. I mean, and I think, you know, like for musicians, I think there's, it's kind of weird to say this because I'm guilty of this, but I think there is importance in understanding that maybe you can pick one or two platforms to try and focus on, you know. Because if you kind of try and do all of it, it's going to just kill you. And maybe you can handle that. But I think, like, for me personally, it was YouTube, right? So I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on YouTube being like the thing. And that in itself kind of trickled down over the years to providing content for other platforms, right? So if I make a YouTube video, what do I get out of it? I get not just a YouTube video, I get a place for a description to put a links to all my other stuff. Everything that you can do on YouTube, like buttons and merch and all kinds of stuff. But then on top of that, I also get other things for like my Patreon. So uploading the raw multi-tracks, uploading the YouTube mix maybe to Patreon, or and then past that, I also get things like, you know, content for Instagram. I can export a shorter video for Instagram and Facebook. So, you know, there's like ways to kind of sit back and look at one thing that you're doing and trying to be like, okay, how many things can I get out of this one thing? You know, there's a really good YouTube drummer, Wyatt Stav. He actually does, he, I think I said his last name properly. I hope I did. But he does something really cool where he does like a fill breakdown. So he might cover a song, but then he'll make another video later where he's covering, like talking about like, hey, this is how you play this fill in that song that I cover, right? And a good way to, I hope he doesn't get mad at me for outing any secrets here, but like the smart part about that is that, you know, he can't monetize necessarily the song that he covers because it's someone else's music. But then if he makes a lesson video breaking down a fill and doesn't use any of the music, then he can, right? There's different ways to...
It's like a good way to think about it,
Yeah, so there's different ways to like take things and break it down to, you know, safely spread yourself apart.
Yeah, you have like, let's say a main content that you do, and then you spread that content, or you kind of trim it in different snaps or something, and you just put it on Instagram, Facebook, and different stuff, but also is using the main content that you had before. So yeah, like... it's a easy way, let's say, to focus on one, but also get presence on the others.
Right.
What is the situation now for you in terms of playing live and projects? How did this, like, the pandemic, how did it affect you, or it didn't, or maybe you got more work?
Well, I don't really know. Like, I would love to play live again, but I've told myself I'm going to be much more selective about it. You know, like I want to, at the moment, I can't really just go out and tour anymore, unfortunately, on like a low budget and or like with just like a new project and just starting from scratch kind of thing. Just because I just can't take that I don't want to take that financial risk at the moment. So I've just told myself to be a little bit more selective. You know, if it's like a really good group of friends, maybe I'll go out and play like a few shows or something. I don't know. But my main focus is really just to stay home and try and do more video content, but more importantly, write more music. I just want to write music. So,
right. That's cool.
Yeah. Unfortunately, writing music alone doesn't like pay bills, but
true.
It's the one thing I really want to do more than anything else. So,
yeah. At least like, I mean, if you're enjoying it, if you enjoy what you do, it's a start. And then you just can use the other resources you have to maybe get people to that and make some income with it. I think we're good. I just want to ask you one more thing. Not ask you, it's just like if you could let us know what you're gonna work, or if you want to promote something, or if you're releasing content that you want people to know, just feel free to
Oh, sure, man. Yeah. Well, I'm working on new music right now, and I just started a company, like a small company with Alex Rudinger and our other friend Christopher Smith.
Nice.
We just released our first drum library for Contact.
Right.
And then, you know, we did a groove pack, and hopefully we're going to be doing a few more groove packs, but we're also working on another instrument. So writing my own music and releasing another drum instrument is pretty much going to be my focus. So,
right. So you seem sorted
yeah.
for the future.
Yeah, trying.
That's really cool, mate. Thank you for doing this. I hope you like it.
Dude, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.